to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, September the 28th. Show is sponsored by BetUS. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. It is the, I will say it. It was a bad loss against the Vegas Raiders. It was a tough Monday overall. As a fan of the team, just, you know, looking back at the game and thinking of all the missed opportunities that the Miami Dolphins had to go into Vegas and beat the Raiders on the road to improve to 2-1. Instead, we are staring at 1-2, and the beginning of the season slowly slipping away from the Dolphins' grasp. When I look at the first three seasons right now for Brian Flores, obviously 3 games into the third year of his head coaching career here in Miami, the Dolphins are starting off slow. And this is a common theme for this football team over these past 3 years. Now, when you look at 2019, that was an awful season. We know how bad those first 3 games were. And it just didn't, it got better as the season progressed. But same thing last year. The Dolphins started the season really 1-3. And was able to rectify the ship and go 9-3 down the stretch. So sitting at 1-2 again, and now that's a 2-7 record for Brian Flores' coach teams for their first 3 games combined over the first 3 seasons. That's not good. You know, and for a team that has aspirations to be done with a rebuild and to be looking forward to potential playoff look in 2021, this is not the start they envisioned. But can be rectified this week. You know, you have a Colts team that's coming in struggling. Carson Wentz is still not looking like Carson Wentz of old. He is not looking good. But this is going to be a dangerous game. The Colts have a pretty good defense. They forced 3 turnovers against the Titans. And, you know, the Dolphins have to find a way to get the job done. They were close against Vegas, but there was a lot to take away from that game. And we're going to dive right into it. I'd like to go through the PFF grades after each game, just to kind of give you a breakdown of, you know, who played well, who, you know, we won't talk about who hasn't played well, because at the end of the day, we already know that. So let's start with the defensive side of the ball. The Dolphins defense gave up almost 500 total yards of offense to the Raiders, and it just seemed like after that first quarter, and the safety, the Jalen Waddle safety, really changed the complexion of the game, and the defense fell apart. And there's no way you could sugarcoat that, but they fell apart. But overall, for defensive grades from Pro Football Focus for Week 3, Zach Sealer rated out at the highest guy at 90.3. He had 5 defensive stops yesterday. Very strong game for Zach Sealer. Emmanuel Ogba continuing his good play at 86.1. Andrew Van Ginkle at 78.2. Jerome Baker, 73.8, and Eric Rowe at 71.2. Overall, I thought the linebackers played a good game. I thought they did a good job with Darren Waller. Darren Waller went for 6 catches for 118 yards last year, one-on-one with Eric Rowe. The Dolphins held him in the 5 catches for 58 yards in the game on Sunday. So overall, I thought they did a good job. I think they were getting good pressure. Derek Carr was getting rushed, and he was getting pressured, but he hung tough, and he made the throws, and it counted, you know. And you know, kudos to Derek Carr. You know, as much knock as he's had a very good start to the 2021 campaign, especially since he was in trade rumors in the offseason, and you know, really in the doghouse with John Gruden for the last 2 years. So he played really well, even though the Dolphins were getting some pressure and some you know, hits on him. He was still getting the job done. On the offensive side of the ball, Jacoby Brissett, 77.7. Mike Gesicki, 73.8. Adam Shaheen at 73. Michael Dieter, 67. Myles Gaskin at 65.4 are the top graded Miami Dolphins offensive players for the week. Jacoby Brissett, admirable performance. Wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, as you know, averaging less than 5 yards per attempt is not good. It's not good at all. He threw almost 50 times and only had 215 yards passing. So something's got to give here, and I'd expect the Dolphins to be more aggressive like they were towards the end of the game. Granted, they didn't get the pass interference call on Will Fuller, which you can argue to you're blue in the face. It was 100% pass interference, which was missed. But you can't rely on the referees to try to save your butt from a game that you were getting blown out in for the most part, especially late in the game. But the real talk here for the offensive line, another poor performance by this group. And this was a new group that they decided to put on the field. And the blocking grades, pass blocking grades for the five starters, Robert Hunt led the way at a miserable 65.8, Michael Dieter at 62.5, and it just got worse from there. Austin Jackson at 46.1, Jesse Davis at 42.8, and Liam Eichenberg at 30.5. Eichenberg just looked overmatched, and I don't know if it's that they're just playing him on the wrong side of the line of scrimmage. That could be the case. I mean, he's always been a left tackle. They play him at right tackle, and he did not play well. He just didn't play well. Brian Flores was asked in his press conference regarding the offensive line and how it was structured in the game, and does he feel like he wants to give that particular group more time together? And Brian Flores responded, "I think they did some good things, that group yesterday. Some things that we can do better. We'll make those corrections. I thought the communication was good. I thought there were spurts of good execution. I think that group we can move forward with." So there you have it, folks. Dolphins are not going to shuffle the offensive line anymore, obviously, unless there's an injury. But that will be your starting unit going forward. Austin Jackson at left tackle, Jesse Davis at left guard, Michael Dieter at center, Robert Hunt at right guard, and Liam Eichenberg at right tackle. That is the group. They've got a ferocious bunch up front against the Colts at home on Sunday from Hard Rock Stadium at 1 p.m. We'll see how this group can handle it. You know, I'm not a fan of keeping things status quo because it hasn't worked. Their first game against the Patriots with Tua at quarterback, they had 8 total pressures given up. So good performance. But over 20? The last 2 weeks, so 40 over 40 pressures in the last two games, and I believe the number now is up to 55 quarterback pressures through 3 weeks. That is a train wreck that has to be fixed. They've got to figure it out. Whether they bring in, you know, some fresh guys in free agency, you know, the talk about Mitchell Schwartz, talk about trading for Taylor Decker. DJ Fluker working his way back, but I believe he's out through 6 games. You got to do what you got to do, but this has to get better. No quarterback. It doesn't matter if Tom Brady himself was sitting behind this line. It is not good performance. And no quarterback can survive behind this offensive line, especially the way they've been playing. Speaking of offensive line play, this kind of ties into it, but I'm not going to blame the offensive line for this. I talked about it on the post-game wrap-up show while my internet was still working properly during the show. I apologize for that, everybody. I'm working on getting this all fixed. But the run game is what I want to talk about now. They got over 130 yards rushing in the game on 27 carries, averaging 4.9 yards per carry. That is a great job. That's good numbers. 7 of those carries came from Jacoby Brissett scrambling for his life. So you mean to tell me that Myles Gaskin received 13 carries and Malcolm Brown, who spurted a 24-yard touchdown run to make it 14-0, only touched the ball a combined 20 times? Is unbelievable. And this has been a common theme for me through the first three games, is why are the Dolphins giving up on the ground game? It's like you have a 14-0 lead and you decide to throw that screen pass. Yeah, I still don't think you should be put in that position, but that was a bad read by Jacoby Brissett. He had other options he could have gone to, but it is what it is. That changed the complexion of the game. But why aren't you trying to run the ball? Why aren't you trying to run the football when you're up and try to control some clock? Because the Raiders' offense this year has been far more explosive than it has been in years past, and the Dolphins kept giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because they could not sustain a drive. But they also did not try to run the football enough to sustain those drives. Miles Gaskin is averaging 5 yards plus per carry this season. That's not good enough? That's not good enough, I guess, for these dual offensive coordinators to continue to run the football. I know the NFL is a flashy game. Passing is king. But you got to establish a ground game. You have to run the football. It's not like these guys are coughing the ball up and you don't trust them. You're just not giving them opportunities. So I would love to see a change when it comes to the running game. And I would love to see them run the ball 25 plus times with their running backs. And if Jacoby Brissett has to get out and run the ball, just do it. But I need to see Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, and Savon Ahmed get at least 25 touches with the ball in their hands on a handoff. Because if the Dolphins can try to do these things, you may see different results. And the passing game may open up. But no team is going to fear you if you don't want to try to run the ball. It's just common sense. It's that time of the show right now. We're going to talk about our friends here at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, and they want to make sure that you use the right tools for the job. So everybody should choose Manscaped when it comes to all their grooming needs. Everyone go to the Manscaped website, manscaped.com, put in the promo code DolphinsTalk, get free shipping and 20% off on your order. Again, manscaped.com. Choose promo code DolphinsTalk and save 20% on your order and also get free shipping. Speaking of the running game, I want to touch base a little bit more on the play calling. And I mentioned the 5-wide empty set from the 1-yard line. Again, you can't put your team in that position, and Jacoby Brissett hasn't been in this system enough in regards to live plays, because Tua was taking all first team reps prior to being injured. So this is the first week that Jacoby Brissett was taking all first team reps. You're putting him in that situation? I mean, I just sometimes I can't understand the type of play calling that we have. And then on that 3rd and 3 in overtime, when you're driving and the Raiders kick a field goal and you're driving, you decide on a shovel pass to Mike Gesicki. Poorly executed play. I didn't like it from the start. If you knew, and Brian Flores admitted it, if we were going to get there, if we get it, we keep going. If we miss it, we're going to kick a field goal and trust Jason to make the 50-yarder, which he did. But you're relying on that. But that's the play call? I like Wildcat. I'm a big fan of Wildcat, but from that 1-yard line? For the 1-yard line. And if you're really going to make an effort on this, take Jacoby Brissett off the field. There has got to be better play calling. You got to be able to get these guys in the open field. The underneath routes are fine, but you got nobody going over the top. Jalen Waddle is living at the line of scrimmage. Living there. He was incredible at Alabama, stretching the field and getting the ball in his hands. They're just not throwing the ball down the field enough. So everybody's up at the line of scrimmage. Things have to change. Play calling has to change. It has to get better. Execution still goes with that, but you still have to get better with your play calling, and that's something that needs to get addressed here prior to the Indianapolis Colts game. Quarterback talk. Not about Jacoby Brissett, but about our injured starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. He made the trip out to Vegas to be with his teammates. And obviously that doesn't go unnoticed. You know, that shows leadership. That shows that the type of character that Tua is. He's on a flight from South Florida to Vegas. That's not a short flight. That's six, seven hours at least to get there. Sitting on an airplane. He's there with his teammates. He's there helping out as best that he could for not being able to play. Brian Flores said that he's getting better. He's working towards getting back on the field. We know the likelihood, and Ian Rappaport stated this prior to the games yesterday, that the expectation was putting Tua on injured reserve gets him fully healthy and back on the field for the London game against Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. So the schedule is not favorable, I would say, but the Colts game is must win. You have to win that game. Get to 2-2. Find a way, scratch, claw, whatever you got to do. Get to 2-2. Then you have to go to Tampa to take on the Bucs. And, you know, real talk, folks, that game against Tampa is going to be a massive, massive challenge on both sides of the ball. Am I saying the Dolphins are going to lose that game? Yeah, maybe. But there's always a puncher's chance. Why is there a puncher's chance? Because the Dolphins find success against Tom Brady. They always have. You never know. But the likelihood of being 2-3 going to London to play the Jags with Tua coming back, that would be ideal. Obviously, 3-2 would be better, but we'll see what that happens. But you can't go into that game 1-4. Just can't. And especially the way that the playoffs are set up right now and the way that this conference is looking, Kansas City's not going to stay down for long. They're 1-2. Pittsburgh, I don't know. I think that team is in a position to really fall apart. Their defense looked good against Buffalo, and then they've just looked overmatched the last two games, especially against the Bengals on Sunday. Ravens got a miracle kick out of Justin Tucker to be 2-1. The Patriots, the Jets, games that Miami will be playing those guys again. Patriots don't look good. Mac Jones doesn't look good. Zach Wilson certainly doesn't look good. There's a lot of struggles, but the Dolphins have to get at least to 500 before the Atlanta Falcons come to town. Have to be at least 3-3. Because now you have a little wiggle room. You can go 7-4 down the stretch. The schedule does get a little bit easier on paper. Colts, back-to-back road games, Falcons at home, Bills on the road, oof. Houston at home, Baltimore at home, Jets on the road, Panthers at home, Giants at home, bye week. Winnable games. Winnable. Have to get them done. Jaguars, Falcons, look like they should be wins. The Bills game, I probably chalk that up to a loss. Houston at home. Baltimore, Thursday night football at home. Maybe you split that 1-1. We know the struggles against Lamar Jackson. The Jets on the road, that's a win. Carolina's looking very tough. That's tough, but that's at home. Giants not looking good right now. That game's at home. Then you finish Jets, Saints, Titans, Patriots. It is imperative the Dolphins beat the Colts. That's all I'm going to say. It is imperative. But we'll get you ramped up for that game as we go throughout the week here at DolphinsTalk.com. Be sure to go to DolphinsTalk.com every single day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. We will be here for shows again all week. Pre-game show with Dante Colonelli and myself getting you ready for the game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and the post-game wrap-up show with Mike Oliva. maybe me. Maybe. It is my six-year wedding anniversary on Sunday, so we'll see how it plays out before I can commit to anything. But the likelihood is I may not be on that podcast with Mike. He may be flying solo or may have a special guest join him, but we'll work through that throughout the week. But either way, I appreciate all of you for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.